Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, folks? Now it's official. We're kicking off the show here. It is December 18th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got a heck of a show lined up. I'll be opening up the phone lines here in the first half of the show as we get going.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All righty. So, here we are. The show is getting ready to kick off. I got to invite everybody. Please, folks, share this around. Get it out. We got some people starting to come on. I appreciate everybody who's coming in. Like I said, please share and give me some likes and post it around and tell folks we're live. If you want to join the show, you can call me at that number that I just played. And we'll talk until my guest gets here in the second half. It's going to be something else there. Hear about what these hospitals are doing to their employees when they don't want to take the flu shot. Pretty rough stuff happening. We'll be talking about that here right after I run my ads and we do the national anthem. So please stick around. We'll do this. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, let me get this shared around. Folks, do the same. Share this around. Invite your friends. The second half of this show is going to be big. This lady's story is unbelievable, and maybe we can do something to help. I don't know. But it's a pretty crazy story, and that's coming up right after this.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. They pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA. Right now on Facebook, that's DaveBray USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwendon, end of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
While the NRA defends the Second Amendment, the American brand fights the propaganda war. My name is Scott Kesterson, and I am president of the American brand. The American brand is a next-generation media, education outreach, and political action training organization designed for red state America. We are an organization built on the inalienable rights guaranteed in our Constitution, on the core values of hard work, on integrity, and on a deep commitment to faith and love for country. The left is working tirelessly to have you believe that red states and red counties are second-class citizens and should have no political power. Nothing could be further from the truth. The American brand has been built to strengthen the political voice of red state small towns and rural communities, to preserve American values, and to train and mobilize the next generation of red state small business and political leadership. It is a bold vision forged from the experiences of small business and military special operations. Visit our website at theamericanbrand.org. That's theamericanbrand.org to learn more. We need your support and your donations to make this work. Join us in the fight. Thank you, God bless, and God bless this great country.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
What's happening, folks? God bless America. God bless you guys. So now, if you would like to join me as we do the national anthem, I'm going to do the national anthem twice a show until the NFL season ends. My little protest in the face of these spoiled brats. Hey, there's that guy. SG, what's up? I won't say your name live, sir. I promise. SG, what's up? Promised him I wouldn't say his name live over the air, but everybody can see his name there in the bottom there in the comments, but that's okay. He's a good fan. He listens all the time. Thank you, Mr. SG. You rock. Reminds me of a Gibson. But right now is that time. We're going to do the national anthem because we don't give a crap what these spoiled brats in the NFL think. You know what I mean? So we're going to put the flag here in front of the screen just for you. Because you don't have a flag. A lot of my patriotic friends have flags around. But I keep them on my chair here. I'm like in my presidential chair here in front of the PC with all my devices running the show. So let me put this flag in front of the screen. Please share the show around. Stick around. Don't leave. Let's get the views up so that people know Patriot Nation Radio. Here we go. Stand up. Send me a selfie of you saluting the flag during the show. God bless.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, hailed the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Right on, the anthem. That's right, folks. Two times a show during this great NFL season. I want to say hello to Mr. SG once again. Johnny Zeno, Daniel, one of our new biggest fans. Daniel is always on the show now. Thanks for tuning in, Andy. Jasara. Hello, Jasara. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tara. I don't recognize Tara. I'm glad you tuned in. I hope you join us again. Juliet, what's happening? Sharon. Sharon down in Texas. Sharon, I don't know if you heard, but there was some kind of deal going on with Casey Massey's case, and his release has been postponed and pushed back to June. So hopefully when the time comes, Carl is over there. I think he's in Australia. What's happening? It's a little late at night over there in Australia, ain't it, Carl? I think that's where you're at, ain't it? Yeah, but thank you. Kim, thank you so much for sharing it 5 times. Chuck is watching. Chuck Hyman. Terry's watching. What's happening? Chuck comes on from time to time. In fact, Chuck, if you're still watching, I got some time here in the first half. We can go over some of those numbers, the radiation numbers from Fukushima. I love talking about that because people don't talk about it anymore, but we talk about it here from time to time. So, Chuck, if you're still watching, you can call the show. I'll bring in Eric. What's happening, sir? Thanks for tuning in. There's a lot of stuff going on, ladies and gentlemen, over in the Bundy trial. Boy, oh boy, is there stuff going on over in the Bundy trial with the prosecutorial misconduct happening here. Pressing exculpatory evidence. Hey, Tim. Tim's my nephew's watching. Oh, what's happening, man? Thanks for tuning in. Good stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. We had the whistleblower, BLM, Bureau of Land Management. What the heck's his name? Oh, boy. I'm on a page looking for it. But he blew the whistle. Wooten, I think, is his name. Agent Wooten. And he's blowing a whistle on these guys. And they were running around pointing rifles at the folks that live in the Bundy Ranch, Clive and Bundy and his family, setting up a perimeter with snipers and video cameras, and they lied about it. They said it didn't happen, and then the pictures finally got out. Once the pictures then got out and they found out that they were lying, holy crow, they threw up their arms. They had a secret thing, and they released everybody. They have ankle monitors. They're going to be able to spend the holiday with their family. Hallelujah. But the prosecutorial misconduct in this case is unbelievable, with at least 7 Brady violations by the prosecution and withholding stuff from the defense, exculpatory evidence, stuff that would have had these guys released 23 months ago, where they would not have been locked up, like the report stating that we think these guys are nonviolent. When you get into a federal prison, apparently, there is an evaluation that they do that has to do with pretrial release. And they said, these guys are not a threat to society. We believe they should go. And the prosecution suppressed that. And these guys were held in jail for 23 months. There's a civil case right there. They need to dismiss this case. They need to drop this case and end it. Release all these defendants and set them free. Precedents are being set here, folks, how these cases are handled. And this is going to change the way cases of the government against the people are handled. So there are no more Ruby Ridges and no Waco, Texas. Jeffrey likes football. Jeff, are you talking Tom Brady, the quarterback? Jeff, he's down there in the live feed. Yeah, you know, I think we'll probably see the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, although I have never watched a full game this year. Maybe it was on in the background where I was somewhere, but I do not watch the NFL. I have given up on the NFL. I'm maybe, possibly, going to watch the Super Bowl. Maybe, somewhere, we may have chips, dips, and beverages and watch the Super Bowl. I do not know. But Tom Brady is pretty good, Jeff. You know, but anyway, so this Bureau of Land Management agent Wooten going around talking about kill lists and lying, and the FBI does not have snipers trained on these folks, and they were not aggressive, and the BLM was not breaking any laws when Dan Love was walking around with kill lists. Okay, Cliven and Ammon are first. Make sure you get those guys, pretty much is what it says on his list. And it's all coming out in court. These guys stood there with their constitutions and fought hard. praying every day, and the judgment will come to those who falsely imprisoned these gentlemen against their will, abusing them at times. Ammon Bundy, at one time, in a small 4x4 shower, chained with no food for 23 hours. And you may have seen John Lamb and them when they were out there, you know, standing up for these guys, and they made the makeshift jail, and they did the jail challenge to see if anybody could stand in there for 23 hours. I don't think one person made it. I think maybe 12 hours was the longest someone was able to stand in, and they kept him in there for 23 hours with no food. Can't lay down. He said, it's 4x4. Ammon's not 4'2". He didn't fit in there good. 23 hours. Another time chained to a bench. And strip search every time they're in and out. Never convicted. Have not been convicted of a crime. Have not been to a jury of their peers at that time. And they were strip searched, violating grossly their Fourth Amendment and their Eighth Amendment rights. Folks, we got a Constitution here. If you're not familiar, hit me up. I'll tell you what the Fourth and Eighth Amendment rights are. Fourth Amendment, you're supposed to be securing your person and effect. If you're not convicted, they can't strip search you and cavity search you and look through your nakedness. If you're not convicted and you're not a criminal, but yet they did it repeatedly, strip searching these guys. Ryan, I believe, even got beat down. Their lawyer got tased in court. The unbelievable prosecutorial misconduct by the federal government. Judge Gloria Navarro should step down. She should be fired, stripped of her pension and all her glorious benefits that she gets from the U.S. government for being a federal judge. Corrupt, picked by Harry Reid and appointed by Barack Obama. What does that tell you about Judge Navarro? We know that the Bundy Ranch sits next to the land that Harry Reid and his crooked son want to sell to the Chinese for some kind of solar field. There's a backhanded, underhand deal trying to get the Bundys off their land so they could put in a solar field. Harry Reid lives right next door to the Bundys. Who knew? Everybody. Or he lives very close. He's right there. You know, he got great, great people standing up, you know, doing great things. Families are home with their kids again. I mean, the men are home with their children, celebrating Christmas. And it's a glorious day for the Bundys. So I'm going to do real fast. I'm going to reach out to Chuck here in the messenger and see if he wants to join us and give us some numbers as we wait for our featured guest tonight, Tracy Bartlett. Tracy Bartlett is a nurse working someplace in the medical field in a hospital. And what they did to Tracy was, after she denied the flu shot, is pretty unbelievable. Now, if you're a fan of my show and you've been onto my page, you probably read the story, but you can hear it straight from the proverbial horse's mouth, right here at 8:40 p.m. in the second half of the show. Tracy Bartlett will join us. Go to my page, look at the show. You can see it there on the show page, the Patriot Nation Radio Network. It's right there. You can see it. Read it, get your mind blown, check out the links, see the story, see what's going on, see her fight. It's pretty crazy. It's nuts. What happened to this lady? We're going to let her tell her story. Folks, this has to get out. People need to hear what's happening if you don't like the vaccination. I'm not getting no vaccination, you know, for the flu shot. And if they tell me I have to, I may have to move on. I got the flu shot once, like 20 years ago. I got so damn sick, I never want to take the flu shot again. You know? I was so sick. I'm just typing into my friend Chuck, see if he wants to come on, and we'll talk about, because you know, folks, something else? The Fukushima nuclear reactor is still leaking. That earthquake was 7 years ago. Fukushima leaks radioactive waste into the ocean. Every day, 300 metric tons a day. And I'm sure the new numbers are in. All right, Chuck's going to call in. We're going to talk about the Fukushima disaster. It's a disaster. It's still happening. It's going to kill the Pacific Ocean. It's going to migrate around. It's going to get through all the straits. It's going to get up into Alaska. If I was you and you were in California, I would not eat any seafood that comes out of the Pacific Ocean. Pacific cod, Alaskan tuna, whatever. We ain't going to have that. I ain't eating it. I don't like to eat nothing that comes out of the sea. Now, I love the seafood, but dang. You can't believe the numbers. We're going to talk about some of the numbers as we wait for Tracy Bartlett's going to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show from Mid-America Land Restoration, Mr. Chuck Hyman. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Mark. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. It's been a while, and I figured I got some time here at the beginning of the show. Why? Well, let's have Chuck on. I should have contacted you sooner. But thank you for the immediate short notice. Bailout for me.
It's all good.
First, before we go over some of these radioactive numbers, tell folks about Mid-America Land Restoration.
Mid-America Land Restoration, we deal in naturally reoccurring beneficial microbes. Nature in a bottle. You can't get any more stronger than that. Right. And with the use of microbes in our environment, live microbes clean and reset our soil back to a natural balance. It doesn't matter what the contamination is, it all breaks down. And the microbes eat it and clean it up, turn it back out into a natural byproduct. So,
and these things would surround any kind of radioactive isotopes that might be in the soil or in other areas that can be treated with the microbes.
Correct.
To surround isotopes and deem them no longer radioactive, am I correct?
Correct. It takes away their half-life. It just breaks them down.
Right.
We've got so much documentation. There's a lot of proof out there. You just got to know where to look for it.
And break it down.
You were saying you wanted to see some numbers. Okay, Colorado Springs. As the computer loads it, Colorado Springs is over 10,000 counts.
Now, explain how they measure it in counts per, what are the counts per million?
Counts per minute. They've got all these different documentaries. We've got some of these sites have the international reading in Shreveport, and depending on which state we click on, depends on whether or not all of the monitoring stations have the international readings. Colorado Springs does not have the international reading. They're just national.
Right. Now, counts per minute is how they measure the radioactivity. And let's go over first before we hit the, because say over 10,000 parts per minute in counts per minute in Colorado. What is, before they changed everything, before Fukushima, so Fukushima is almost leaking. It's now leaking 7 years. So 7 years and a month ago, before Fukushima, what were the normal numbers, the numbers for danger, numbers for holy crap, get the hell out of here?
Before all of the nuclear nonsense hit, and between 4 and 20 counts per minute was classified normal.
Right.
50 counts per minute.
A body can assimilate that much. You get that much from going to the beach, right?
Right. The sun, yada, yada, yada. When 50 counts per minute was abnormal, 100 pounds per minute was an alert or warning, and 300 was known to be the evacuation level.
All right, so before Fukushima, between 4 and 20 counts per minute was normal. Your body could assimilate that and, you know, get rid of the harmfulness of it. 50 would be like, uh-oh, we got a problem. 100 would be a warning. Oh, we have a nuclear warning. Beware, folks, when you go outside, you know. And 300 would be like, holy crap, get the hell out of here. That was before Fukushima. The Obama administration went ahead and they changed the numbers to, and what are the new numbers, the new norms, after Fukushima during the Obama administration?
Well, see, the bad part about that very question, like we've talked about all of this so many times on the radio,
yes.
That PDF file that we pulled all of this data from, now that Obama administration is gone, so is the files.
Huh.
They've been scrubbed.
Well.
But fortunately, one of my partners was wise enough, everything was screenshotted. So we still have the original PDF file in screenshot.
Right.
So this file, like I said, has been scrubbed and gone. But we've got a copy of it.
Crazy. And so what do they say the numbers are now? Because they raised it way up.
Well,
from
they raised the radiation safety limits in our drinking water 27,000 times and changed the acceptable death rate from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 23 people.
It's crazy. So they have
1 in 23 is now the acceptable rate.
Death rate. What was it again? 1 in 10,000?
1 in 10,000 to 1 in 23.
That's really big. That's a big jump from 10,000 to 23. So before it was 1 in 10,000. Now it's say the 1 in 23. 1 out of 23. That's insane. And every single day since Fukushima started leaking, it's been raining on our crops in mid-America. And that's what Chuck is trying to do, is get these microbes into the soil in mid-America to decontaminate our crops. Because what's the day? I think it takes all right, so it leaks in 300 metric tons leaks today, and the effects are felt in mid-America within how many days? 20 days? 22 days?
What was spewed off when Fukushima's first eruption from the earthquake and tsunami? Here in the heartland, it showed up in our milk with our milk producers because it was showing up in the grass the cattle were grazing, and hence it being in the milk. It was showing up in our milk roughly 28 days after the implosion. It was here via the air at 15 to 18 days. So, you know, when you start looking at the cattle grazing it and it's showing up in the milk just a week or so after. And it's been in our food supply ever since.
So after 20 days, 21 days of the disaster, if you're getting milk from a particular dairy or you're getting corn from a particular field, you're already eating contaminated food.
So, like I said, it's been an eye-opening experience trying to wake the masses up and get people to understand what's going on. And why these cancer rates are going berserk, why the dementia rates are going crazy.
Yeah, my dad has dementia.
You know, people need to understand, dementia is not just for the elderly anymore. It is hitting people in their mid and late 20s. And those who are being devastated with dementia in their mid and late 20s, if that doesn't sound bad enough, think about it. What dementia does, it takes away the memory. These people are going to grow up and not know who their kids are, their grandkids, or anything around them, because they are only mid to late 20s.
Right. Crazy. With dementia already.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So,
hold on 1 second.
No.
Wow. So if someone wanted to get some of the microbes for their soil, their farm, and they wanted to get in touch with Chuck, how could they get in touch with you so maybe they can get their crops in there?
They can simply find Mid-America Land Restoration on Facebook. They can go to the main website, midamericalandrestore.com. On the contact page on the main website, there's a direct email button where you can directly email me. And all the phone numbers for direct call, cell phones, everything's listed right there. I'm not hiding from nobody. I'm easy to find. And it's just mind-blowing that we've let things get to this point. And I see the writing on the walls. There's going to be some big things, big changes coming. And, you know, just like so many of us have talked about it,
I wonder if Fukushima has anything to do with that high pressure system out in California that's keeping the rain away. I wonder if Fukushima radiation has anything to do with that. Who knows? I wonder if anybody's even studying that.
It's to what the radiation in the atmosphere is doing with these droughts and everything. It heats the atmosphere up and burns off any of the moisture that's naturally there. Because the atmosphere is getting hot with radiation.
All right, folks. If you have a farm and you want it, and you're worried about these nuclear radioactive isotopes coming out of the sky in the rain from Fukushima, search out Mid America Land Restoration on Facebook. All the information is there, and you can contact Chuck Heineman, and he will hook you up and help you out and get you the microbes that you need to save your farm and your crops and start breaking down this waste. Who knows? It might be coming at such a breakneck pace you would need to apply it weekly for a long time. But it's probably
it won't be weekly, but no. we'll be doing more than our fair share just to get in front of it, and then we'll have to do some maintenance levels. But we got a lot of work to do to get things cleaned up and turned around, get our yields back up, and get our crops back where they belong.
Right. I have someone else in the queue, and they pressed 1. They want to join the show. Let's see who we got, Chuck. Let's bring them in. Hello, Kitty. Oop, there goes the mouse. This is my friend, my furry pet. He's my kitty. Hey, welcome to the show. You're in a 904 area code. You're on with me, your host, Mark Hoffman, and Chuck Heineman from Mid-America Land Restoration. What's happened? Yellow. No, they hung up. Put them on the spot. They didn't want to join. I'm sorry. I wish they would have said something. but anyway, they bounced off. So then that's Mid-America Land Restoration. Chuck Heineman, you want to make sure you get that. So what else is going on, Chuck? Are you getting ready for Christmas?
Oh, we're working at it slowly. We've got some hurdles to cross before we get there. We, like I've said so many other times, we've had I've been dealing with dementia cases in family here for quite some time, and I'm down to the end. We lost the last one with dementia just not too long ago, and the services will be Wednesday. So dementia is not the way to go out, folks. It's an ugly disease, and it's not fun to sit and watch.
Yeah, my dad has dementia pretty bad. It's not fun. And he's in a facility. My stepmom, she's 85. She can't look after him right good enough anymore. She's old herself, you know. So that dementia is pretty rough. Especially when someone you know and love is affected by it. It's really bad. I had a Christmas song I wanted to play. I don't know if it's still on my board. If I find it, I'm going to play a Christmas song. I love some Christmas. I don't have my producer with us tonight, so I got to look for everything on the board myself. But that's fun.
Ah, so you're playing solo.
Yeah, I'm all by myself on Mondays. But it's fun. It's fun. It's hard to look at the board, look at the live feed, talk to the people, chit-chat with the guests. But it's fun, you know. That's what makes it good. If I can find a Christmas song, I believe it's the oldest Christmas song ever. It's the actual first Christmas carol, if I can find it. I think I'm getting close here. I recognize some of these songs. I wish I had my producer. She'd have it up for me. There's a way to search these.
Uh-huh.
There's a way to search these, and she can find it right away. She's the one that posted it for me. Lisa, help. Is Lisa there? I see a 904 area code came back. I believe you were just a listener and don't wish to join us, so I will not pick up the phone for it with you. Let's see. Run, Rudolph. We'll go with that. Ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas. I'm going to play Run, Run, Rudolph. Let's see what this is. My friend James posted it. Rudolph, that good old Chuck Berry right there. Good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah, man. Gotta love Christmas. Gotta love this time of year. People are being courteous, being nice, holding open doors, saying Merry Christmas. Oh, by the way, it's Merry Christmas at Patriot Nation Radio. We say Merry Christmas. You know, if I was walking down the road and someone said to me, hey, your last name's Hoffman, Happy Hanukkah. Well, thank you. I mean, I'm a Christian, but thanks. I'll have a happy Hanukkah. Thank you very much. I will. I'll enjoy, you know. I'll be happy to celebrate with you. Hallelujah. I would never be offended if someone said happy Hanukkah to me. Never. Would you be, if someone said happy Hanukkah to you, Chuck, would you be offended?
No.
I'd be like, okay,
It's a holiday.
Those 7 days, I'll try to be as happy as I can on those 7 days and spin a dreidel for you.
But I sent you some links while we were listening to the music. I gave you some links on the East Coast versus the West Coast. And then I gave you one that has the breakdown of the data for the breaking down of our ecosystems. The stuff's here, folks.
We'll send them over to my radio pages, too, so folks can see them, and I see them there. And these numbers and all this information comes from the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA.gov. You can go there and see the numbers yourself, folks. They're right there. But this next one, I'm going to play another one because my guests will be calling here any minute. And I want to play this. This, I believe, has been deemed the oldest Christmas carol, the very first Christmas carol. I think this is it. I think I found it. Let's find out. Here we go.
Grabian, the multimedia marketplace.
I think it's going. I don't know.
It is. Well, that was then, and this is now. My opinion, Obamacare's unraveling.
Wrong one. Oh, well, I think we're going to miss it.
Did you hit the wrong keyboard, did you?
No, it just had Emmanuel in it. I guess it was somebody who had that name in their name of their radio show or whatever, and someone took a soundbite. And there it is. I missed it. So, oh, well. I was hoping to find it. I can't find it here in the queue, in the switchboard. We got a 1,000 songs on there. We really got to think about getting rid of them. Let's see. We got right here. Calling in from the 904 area code. Is this my friend, Tracy? Is that you, Tracy? Hello? Oh, they dropped off again. I don't know. I'm hoping she calls. We're live. She's watching. I just sent her a message. Let me just tell her that we are live and ready. Because her story is amazing. You won't believe her story. So let's try to get her on the line here and see if she'll join in. I want to say hello to everybody there on the live feed. If you're still there, Rob. I used to work with Rob. His father hired me a long time at the Briner Machine Shop in Brooksville, Florida. If you need something machined, call Briner. They'll machine it for you. They're in Brooksville, Florida. Brian Lang, he had to sign off. Brian Lang, if you're on the live feed, folks, Brian Lang has Live Truth Radio with Brian Lang. Search him out. Hello, Cecilia. Joe. Joe's watching. Steve. Ed. My friend Paul out in Nevada. Hallelujah. Colette. Lonnie. Everybody's watching on the live feed. I want to say hello and thank you. Some thumbs up and some hearts to show that you're out there, because it's pretty quiet, that nobody's commenting and all that stuff. It would be great to see some folks comment. I'm hoping that my guests will join me. I think her story is very important. People need to hear her story and what happened to her. It's really unbelievable. In a second, I'm just going to read it because it's worth that much. It needs to be told what's going on with this poor lady refusing the flu vaccine at work. It's pretty insane, you know, what they've done to her at work. So I'm scrolling now. I'm going to find the story. I'm just going to read it because we're winding down the show here. And her story is important. It's long, and I'm going to read it. This might be my show description. Yeah, that's my show description. All right, here it is. You're supposed to call, and I'm hoping that she still does. From Tracy Bartlett. All of this for refusing the flu vaccine. And she wanted to add that it's not about wearing this mask. Got to wear a medical mask. It's about harassment and hostile work environment. This is happening right now to this young lady trying to go to work every day. And this is what they're doing. I am forced to wear this mask 12 and a half hours a day from the moment I step foot in the hospital door until I step out in the evening without lunch or breaks. They say I'm not allowed to remove the mask because I may magically spread the flu I do not have. I have been harassed verbally, physically from the last month. Rude comments, intrusions into my privacy, medical and personal. numerous HIPAA violations of my personal information. I do not go to work one day without being insulted all throughout the day. Pulled the mask down once at an employee elevator and had the infection control nurse come by and feel it was okay to touch my face and put the mask back over my nose and mouth. And I was in complete shock. Then she ran off. I went to the human resources and of course got the corporate runaround. I was physically assaulted, and that was completely all okay with them. But it's not okay. There isn't a day or even a few hours that goes by that I don't hear nurses, respiratory therapists, clerical staff saying, I just had the flu or I'm getting over the flu, but it's completely okay for them to be at work without a mask. Does that make sense? Peggy's watching. Hello, Peggy. Some folks are seeing that the broadcast is interrupted. It will come on from time to time. I'm sitting right here next to my router. I don't know. She has been a nurse for almost 19 years, and she loves being a nurse, and she really don't like the direction healthcare is headed in this country. This year, the flu shot is about 10% effective, and because the hospital says so, employees who are standing up for their health rights are wearing a mask. Unbelievable. Yet straight from the CDC itself, there are zero studies proving this mask does anything to prevent transmission of flu. Tracy, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hi. There we go. We made the connection. All righty. I tried to pick up a couple times. I don't know what happened.
It's okay. No problem.
Well, my friend Chuck Heinemann's on the line. Say hello, Chuck, to Tracy Bartlett, who I'm reading. This is her case I'm reading about.
Hi.
Hello, Tracy.
All right, so.
It's not exactly a case yet, but.
And Mark, it's just not her. I've got a young daughter that's in the healthcare system, and they're forcing these vaccines and these flu shots in every medical field across the country.
Well, I can explain to you what it's all about. Hospitals get Medicaid and Medicare reimbursements every year, and the government has instituted all of these healthcare initiatives and certain things that we do in the healthcare that if you meet a percentage or a goal, you get your reimbursement. If you don't meet that percentage and that goal, you don't get that reimbursement. So the deal with the flu vaccine is that 90% of the employees of that facility have to be vaccinated for them to get their 2% Medicare, Medicaid reimbursement. So, of course, you know, they used to just say, hey, get your flu vaccine every year, and some employees would do it, other ones wouldn't. It wasn't mandatory. Then they said it was mandatory, and more people stepped up and did it, but there was no penalty for it. But it still wasn't quite enough. There was maybe 60% of the employees going to get the flu vaccine. So then they found that if they instituted something like, hey, you're going to have to wear a mask all season, if you don't get the flu vaccine, guess what? More employees ran to get it. I believe that I'm probably the last nurse left in the hospital that's wearing a mask. And it is because that they have bullied and picked on and ridiculed all of these nurses to the point where they just say, screw it, and go and get their flu shot, regardless of what their health will suffer because of it.
Right.
And it's wrong.
It is. It's highly wrong. If you don't want the flu shot, you shouldn't be forced or be told that you must get the flu shot. Because magically, if you don't have the flu, you don't pass the flu along. I don't believe so. At least, well, maybe 2 weeks, you have the flu 2 weeks before you even feel any symptoms, and I guess that's when you spread it. Is that when the incubation period is?
Well, it's about 24 hours, actually. It's about 24 hours.
All right, so if I had the flu virus right now but wasn't feeling any symptoms, I could be passing it to my wife and son, and then I'd start feeling symptoms tomorrow.
Right, and then they would probably start feeling the symptoms within 24 hours of that. And
gotcha.
So, I mean, I understand that this is, quote-unquote, for patient safety, patient care, but it's really not. Because if you think about it, these nurses that are getting the flu vaccine, I'm talking every unit. I work all over the hospital. Every unit I go to, I'm talking a half a dozen or more of them have actively had the flu, tested positive for the flu. So this is a joke. I mean, they're coming to work, no mask on, was probably there the week before, the day before they actually came down with the flu. So who is spreading the flu? I don't have the flu. I haven't been sick. I haven't been sick with the flu since I stopped taking the flu vaccine probably 10 years ago.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
How's that work?
So, yeah, it's crazy. And the most recent research has shown that successive years of taking the flu vaccine actually lower your ability to fight it off if you are exposed to it. So I don't understand what is going on in this country. You know, it's all about money is what the bottom line is. It's not about patient safety. It's not about health care. It's about how much each facility can profit.
Yeah. And I bet you that the pharmaceutical companies are very upset with people who shine a negative light on the flu vaccines because they're making a killing on these flu vaccines.
Oh, absolutely.
Among others, I think their main source of income right now is the opioid trade.
Well, you got to look at the last five, seven years. We used to not be able to go to the pharmacy or the pharmacy that's in the grocery store and get a flu shot or a pneumonia shot. Hell, Walmart even sells shingles vaccines and any other basic booster that you want. You know, these pharmacists go to pharmacy school and they're highly intelligent people, but I don't know of any of them ever telling me that I've worked with the residents before that they've ever given an IM injection of anything. They know in theory how to do it, but have they ever really been trained on how to give a shot appropriately? Probably not.
Nope. And then they're coming at you with that needle and they have no idea. They're just jabbing people and squirting it in and hoping for the best.
Right, and they're not physicians, so they don't know how to care for a person that's having an anaphylactic reaction to the medication. They're not even monitoring them after they're giving it. The same thing with hospitals. They're herding everybody in, lining them up, giving them their flu shot, sending them on their way. There's no follow-up on this.
Here, they've got drive-through. You go drive up to the front door of the hospital and the line of vehicles, and
mm-hmm.
they just reach in through the window and wipe and stick.
And I mean,
and you drive on.
Yeah, I don't understand why society hasn't caught on to this. This is not rocket science. You can see the dollar signs trailing after the people as they walk away from getting their shot. I mean, come on, these stores are giving bonuses, giving you discounts. I mean, because they're getting paid. They're getting paid. And Big Pharma's making some money, too.
Right. You know, folks, what's running our country right now are very few things. Big Pharma, big banks, and big corporations. And when they're not making money, when they ain't making money, they're pissed off. And they're going to do something. Whatever it takes to make that money. Sometimes I wonder when they're flying these planes over the sky with all these geoengineered trails, if they're dumping like viruses down on us. Who knows?
They are.
And go, you better get your flu shot. You're going to get sick. Flu's going to hit next week. They fly over and everybody gets sick.
What's so funny about all this to me is that if flu season actually happens, you know, magically it just comes to light October 1st and it just magically stops on March 31st. Why are these hospitals not vaccinating their employees in the beginning of September to make sure that they have that 2 to 3 week period that it takes to actively gain antibodies to that vaccine if it works like it's supposed to? They're not. Our flu season starts in October. I had until November 6th to get my flu shot or to put a mask on.
Right.
So, and so why, you know, none of it makes any sense. You know, if you really think about it, none of it does. My biggest issue with this is not, it's not about wearing the mask. I'll wear the mask. It's about my rights. And the fact that I'm harassed every day that I go to work, that I'm called out. I've got the big scarlet letter A on me. And, you know, it's frustrating because I'm there to do a job, and that's to take care of people. And I'm a phenomenal nurse, and I don't say that with conceit. I say that with confidence because my patients tell me I am all the time. I pride my job. I've wanted to be a nurse since I was 3 years old. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. So,
God,
you know, the hostility that, you know, nurses like me receive because, you know, I'm not even getting all the details, but, you know, the reasons that I don't take the flu shot isn't just an elective, I'm going to stand up and I'm not going to take it. That's not the reason, even though I don't believe in it and it don't work, but that's not the reason that I don't take it. I'm not going to let my health suffer to take that injection. And, you know, my biggest issue with all of this, and I didn't intend for it to get on a vaccine debate or, you know, a childhood vaccine debate, which is where it always ends up. But, you know, it's just about how you're treated. You know, I shouldn't have to go to work and feel this way. And I sure the hell shouldn't have to go to work and have somebody put their hands on me. No matter how mild of an incident it may have been, it was not, I did not ask for it. I did not expect it coming. And she had no business to treat me like that as a professional.
And then HR gives you the runaround.
Right. Instead of them truly addressing it and dealing with it right then on the spot, I got the corporate, well, we've got a list. We're going around with a list. We're making sure everybody's wearing their flu vaccine, you know, their mask. Because they didn't take the flu vaccine. So now they've got us on the list, and it's a witch hunt.
Right.
And, you know, they've already turned two nurses because of that list. And then how am I supposed to, you know, from the time I walk in the door in the morning until I walk in at night, keep that mask on my face? And I said, how am I supposed to go on break? How am I supposed to drink throughout the day? How am I supposed to eat my lunch? And they looked at me. They would not give me an answer on how I'm supposed to get my lunch that I'm not even paid for when I'm there. And another nurse told me, who actually gave up and went and got her flu vaccine, that they told her she was allowed to eat in the break room alone, around no one else, quickly, and get the mask back on her face and get back out there.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, come on, we're taking care of people for 12 and a half hours a day, and we're not even allotted our 30-minute lunch break that we don't get paid for, and it's constantly interrupted. I don't have an 8-to-5 job, get an hour lunch, go off site, have, you know, meet up with my friends. No, nurses don't get that. So, you know, I'm not complaining about wearing the mask. What I'm complaining about is how I'm being treated while I'm wearing the mask.
Right.
And, you know, for all the hostility coming at me, yes, I've elected to put this out in the public and on Facebook, and I did not expect for it to take off like it did, because other nurses have put the same thing out, and theirs didn't, you know, take off. But, you know,
sometimes you get it at the right time. There's a lull in the news cycle. Someone sees the story and shares it to the right page, and next thing you know. Like I shared the article that you posted. You wrote something up. I was just reading from, and I shared it to my page. It got shared 17 times within an hour.
Well, that – and I didn't put this on there because I didn't realize it at the time. The 1 through 10 bullets on that post that I made have been copied and shared. And what I realized after the fact is a nurse that I'm friends with that feels the same way I do on Facebook actually created that. I have all the information myself, but I haven't taken the time to do that. So part of that is her being able to pull all that information together. So I'm not going to take credit for something somebody else did. You know, I just copied it and put my story with it because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these stories. I've had probably at least 200 nurses contact me since this went out. Their stories sound just like mine. So you have got I mean, somebody would have to convince me otherwise, but I believe that these hospitals are taught to do this because they know they will turn more people to the flu vaccine.
Right.
And, you know, what kind of world do we live in when we don't even value the health of our employees? We don't even listen to them and say, listen, I can't take this for medical reasons. Nurses have contacted me that have taken the flu vaccine and got transverse myelitis and where they're paralyzed. And, you know, you think that's covered under workman's comp? No. Do you think you can sue the drug company? No. You think you can sue whoever the doctor is magically that appears to say these flu vaccines are okay for these hospitals? No. They're protected by that nice little vaccine law that came out in 1986. So who do we have? Who do we have protecting us? There's nobody protecting us.
It's scary.
And Mark, I sent you an article that I had here that talks about this very thing, why nurses and healthcare professionals across the U.S. just started refusing mandatory flu vaccines. This article came out by Allison Morris. I'm looking for a date. And I don't have a date. It said 2 weeks ago, but I think I've had it that long already. So I may came out and I snagged it and saved it. But I sent it over to our comments that we were talking with earlier.
Yep, I just sent it to you, Tracy. You can read that article. I sent it right to Tracy.
Okay.
So is there any way people can say,
I wanted to say this really quick. I've been put in Facebook jail, so that's the reason I can't respond. I'm in detention for 24 hours, so I can't respond to posts. I can't do Messenger. I can't do anything but look at stuff.
That's
so
crazy. Because you're speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking up.
The Big Brother's watching over me right now, I guess.
I just want to say hello on the live feed. Annie just chimed in. Hello, Annie. And then my good friend Terry. What's happening, Terry? So is there any way people can help? Is there something that you do that we can do? Can we call up and say, you people are crazy, down with the flu vaccine?
No, honestly, no. I don't even know what to do because, you know, Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccines tried to band together a few years ago. There's articles that go around that say 22,000 strong, these nurses, and they could get nowhere with this. I believe that most of their Facebook articles and feeds and stuff like that have stopped because they're blocked. And that's the thing is that you can't look at what we're fighting against. A billion, who even know? I don't even know how much pharmaceutical companies have, but, you know, I'm sure it's in the billions or larger. And, you know, you can't fight up against that. And, I mean, the doctors, look at all these, I see all these articles all the time about these physicians and their families that are like natural health promoting physicians. They're murdered. So, you know, it's basically just go along and get along, and that's the mentality of most of the nurses that I work with. They will not fight for anything anymore. We're a very submissive profession now, and it's like if you have – the gall to stand up to people and physicians. I have critical care nurse for 15 of my 19 years. And you have to have that to be able to take care of your patient like they need to be taken care of. And if you have that and you maintain that throughout your career, you burn out quickly and everybody hates you. And, you know, that's the thing is that so a lot of nurses just back down. They just go along to get along and, you know, just try to be friends with everybody because it makes their work life better. And we're at work for long hours with people. So it's pretty miserable when nobody likes you.
I can imagine, man. Well, I know we don't want to call the hospital and make a big noise because then you might lose your job too. We don't want that to happen. But
well, I'm not worried about that. I've had people threatening that for the last several days. One person even thought they found where I worked. A couple people found where I used to work. I told them to contact them. I've done nothing wrong. I have nothing to hide. And, you know, if they feel better about themselves by calling my hospital up, they're just making this more of an, you know, more of an issue. And I'm the type of person that if you keep on pushing me, I'm going to push harder and harder back. So
right, that's what people don't understand.
Right, and if they want this to drop and they want this to go away and disappear and they don't want to hear about it anymore, best thing to do is just leave me alone, you know?
Yep.
But if they keep pushing me, I keep pushing too. So they're just driving it even further for me, I guess. I don't know what I'm going to do at this point. I went to work today. Nothing was said to me all day. So if anybody did call, they're either scheming at the hospital at what they're going to do with me, or either nobody's heard anything. So it's a very quiet day today.
Got to be an attorney somewhere that can help you.
Well, I have one that will help me. I have one that will help me, but I don't have the funds to get it started right now. So I'm kind of stuck, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make a GoFundMe account for Tracy Bartlett to fight. He could never win. They got so much money. You would need $40 billion.
What can you do? I can help spread the word, and that's pretty much it. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to fight to stop the flu vaccines, the mandatory flu vaccines, because I don't think I'm going to get anywhere on that. I think it's going to take hundreds of thousands of nurses suing, hundreds of thousands of nurses, you know, doing whatever, walking out. I hate it for the patients, but I think this country needs to understand, or every country that has nurses, because every country does, how important we are to the healthcare structure and the system, because without us, it does not exist. And, you know, we all have the power to change the face of healthcare if we were allowed to do that.
Well, when my appendix burst, the CNA, just the CNA alone, what she did for me was amazing. Mm-hmm. I thanked her every day. Some of these people, what they have to do, people come in there. All right, my appendix burst and I was very sick. I almost died from it. And these poor CNAs had to clean up when I was sick. And it's unbelievably ridiculous. And I'm sure they did not get paid enough to do what was happening to me, and what they had to clean up is unbelievable. And I don't think anybody should have to really do that job. And I'm thankful and grateful that people are actually out there willing to clean up people's serious messes while they're deathly ill and some people dying. Unbelievable.
It takes a special calling.
It's a thankless job. It's a thankless job, and you're all in the medical field and are doing the work, don't get enough. You know, the doctor comes in, he puts in a couple stitches, he comes in, he does some surgery. Yes, it's very critical to know what you're doing as a surgeon. But after you're done with the surgery, that's it. And then it's left to the nurses. And then the rest of the follow-up care is done by some great people who really care and love humanity. And they're doing this because they love to help people. And this is their call.
Right. Right.
And this is a really horrible thing, folks. We need to all stand up. If you're anti-vaccine, I'm anti all vaccines. I never wanted to even get my son vaccinated, but they wouldn't let him in school or nothing. So I had to do it, and I felt really bad because I do definitely see that there is, and maybe it's genetic, but some people, when they get the vaccines, get autism. It's proven. I think it may have to do with genetics because not everybody gets it.
Well, I think it's a combination. And, you know, I don't think it's necessarily all vaccines will cause it, but I think it's the number of vaccines that we are giving today. And
right.
Food,
13,
chemicals, and everything we consume, everything we put on our bodies, you know, it's a combination of everything that's causing it. But the one thing that you can prevent, and that's the thing, is these diseases that we're vaccinating against are not deadly in this day and time. In a
right.
normal, healthy, thriving kid, they are not deadly. And I personally feel that the risk of the vaccine is worse than a benefit of it. So I just don't feel they're necessary.
Right.
And, you know, that's a whole nother topic than what I'm on right now, though. I mean, I could talk for 3 days about that.
Well, look, I you can come on my show again if you have other things you want to talk about, because I got to wrap up this show. I'm actually 10 minutes into overtime. I did schedule an hour and a half, but my son's going to bed, and I want to kind of get in there and give a little snuggle and a squeeze and say goodnight.
No problem.
Chuck, hey. My son on the live feed a few times. He comes on the show with me sometimes and says hello. He's a good boy.
Mark, I just
yes.
sent you an article that's just coming out on that train derailment today.
That looks like
sabotage.
Yeah, I saw that, and they were Antifa apparently was. Writing on their website that they put concrete on the tracks on the train out in Washington. Antifa using an anti-fascist group using fascist tactics to silence their opposition. Go figure. Craziest world we live in. It's unbelievable. Anti-fascists using fascist tactics to silence the opposition. Anti-fascist. Crazy. What kind of world do we live in? Unbelievable. You know? And these guys, they come out of mom's basement after playing hours and hours and hours of, Mortal Kombat or something on their video games. I don't even know what the games are anymore. I'm still, like, somewhere on PS1, PlayStation 1, or Sega Genesis, you know. I'm really behind the times. But, folks, I want to thank you guys for coming on. Chuck, of course, for bailing me out on the first half. And Tracy coming on the second half to tell her story, which is extremely important. And I do my next episode will be December 28th, as it is holiday season. I do have family rolling in, so I'm going to shut down the station. There'll be American Brand Radio on Tuesday with my good friend James Bostic and Emmy Award-winning journalist Scott Kesterson. American Brand Radio Initiative, you can hear in the beginning of my show, I run an ad, theamericanbrand.org, I believe it is, or americanbrand.com. Try both and make sure you get to the right side. I can't remember right now. I believe it's theamericanbrand.org. Scott Kesterson, Emmy Award-winning journalist, here on the Patriot Nation Radio, two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m., and, of course, the Patriot Nation Radio Show, Mondays and Thursdays. But my next show, like I said, will be on December 28th. And then the new year, I'm booking January. I already got some shows booked up in January. But again, Tracy, if you want to come on the show again, we'll set up a schedule. We could talk about all kinds of things that are going on that people have no clue. And my friend Terry, his wife's an RN here in the Sunshine State. I'm sure she's seen all the hoopla too in her hospital where she works. But yeah, we can talk about it.
It's every hospital. It's everyone.
I think it's important that our nurses and CNAs and the practitioners and all these folks that are doing the work, the real work, the aftercare and the before care and prep and making sure that the patient's comfortable and their bathroom is ready for them when they're sick and they're clean. And these folks, it's a thankless job. And if you ever get an opportunity, don't feel shy to go up to the guy in the ambulance and say, hey, thanks for your service. Or if you happen to be in the waiting room because you're getting two stitches from something at work, thank the nurses. Thank them. They need thanking. They're doing a thankless job, and they need to be appreciated. It's very important. Tracy, thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me.
And it'd be great. Maybe we can link up and get on our same contact, and I can keep in touch with you and maybe get you on again.
Okay, sounds good.
And get out of jail. I don't have a get out of jail free card.
That's probably going to be till tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not collect $200. No bail.
It's okay. I need a Facebook break anyways. This is a blessing in disguise.
Amen.
They always
Thanks
are.
Again. Thanks again.
Y'all have a good night.
You too. And ladies and gentlemen, be sure
Merry
to check
Christmas.
Out. Merry Christmas. Thank you. You too. And that's right. Here at Patriot Nation Radio, we say Merry Christmas. Chuck, thanks a lot, ladies and gentlemen. Seek out Mid-America Land Restoration and Chuck Hindman, and, you know, learn what's really happening. And you can go to EPA.gov and see the real radiation numbers that will blow your mind. Like Maine, the counts per million are like in the 12,000 range. And it's so far away from Fukushima, and the nuclear radiation that is there is evacuation times 20. Get out. Run for the hills. 300 counts per million per minute was to get out and run, and they're at like 12,000. It's crazy. Chuck, thanks again. Mid-America Land Restoration and Chuck Heineman. Make sure you find that. And I would like to take this time to do one last stab at the national anthem. As we're doing it two times a show, to stick it right in the face of the NFL, because we love the flag. We love those who bled and died for that flag, and we love our country, and we will never disrespect it. Although those folks died and bled so these turds could protest, just not at work. If I protest at work, I get fired. So I think Donald Trump saying they should be fired is right within guidelines. He's talking as a businessman. You wouldn't be working for Donald Trump at Trump Tower in New York City and at break time decide you're going to take a sign and say, you know, do a protest right there in the lobby while you're at work. Guess what? He's going to fire you. That's why he said these turds should be fired. Fire them. It's work. Look, they make millions of dollars. These people that make all this money could very easily they make $20 million in a year. They could take $1 million and go out into the community and make a difference. Do they do that? No, they use this stupid platform, destroying one of America's greatest pastimes, to make a silly point and then do nothing. Just take a knee and then expect everybody else to take action for them. Well, guess what, folks? You make millions of dollars. We're poor. We're broke. We live in check to check. You get out and make a difference with your millions. And so now we do the national anthem. Please join me if you're on the live feed. I'll put the flag up so you can stand, remove your hat, and join me as Dave Bray sings the national anthem. DaveBrayUSA.com. Doing great stuff. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Hail the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say doth that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This has been another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Good night, and may God bless each and every one of you. Till we meet again on the 28th, Merry Christmas. That's right. Good night.